You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We're here for you every week, a few times a week during the summer. Normally we're here for you daily, but during the summer, you know, there's not a lot to talk about, but we're still here for you multiple times a week, which is still awesome because who's here for you multiple times a week? Not a lot. Not a lot of people, but we are, or at least I am. John Corrales here of the Rain and Jays. I'm the one Rain and Jay who is podcasting. The other two, Jay King, Sam Jam Packard, not available tonight. But I'm here to discuss Marcus Smart signing and Gordon Hayward posting a video showing himself playing basketball, like legit basketball, step backs and, you know, not like little taking jump shots on his tippy toes, like really playing basketball. But I'll talk about that in a minute. First, I was on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Joe Murray, and Joe kind of had a negative take on Marcus Smart re-signing with the Celtics, and I'll say it's probably representative of some Boston Celtics fans. So let me play it. I'll have you listen to the conversation, and then you can kind of see where some people are coming from. I'll react to it afterwards.
Let's talk to John Corrales of Red's Army. John, again, I think it's a loss. I know you've been covering this now for a little while here, but I just don't think they had to give him the money. I don't think they had to. I'm glad he's back, but I just think there's a lot of implications here, and I don't know. I wonder if he's even going to play late in games.
I think that depends, but what do you think they should have given him then?
Why not the $6 million? He was close to signing it anyways. Why did they give in? Had something to do with the Kawhi deal? I mean, I just don't know why they gave into it unless somebody else was going to try to give an offer.
Well, I think there's a couple things at play here. First of all, I think they got him for maybe below or maybe even at what his value is. So they're paying, I think, personally, fair market value. They could have tried to play hardball. They could have taken the risk and had him sign the qualifying offer and have him go into unrestricted free agency. I think part of it might be some uncertainty. I don't know for sure. I don't have any inside information on that, but part of it might be uncertainty about what Kyrie might do. So they've got at least a starting level point guard for the next 4 years. I think you have to be careful when you're dealing with players like that. If you're really trying to squeeze every last bit of leverage out of them, you have to look at future dealings with other players and how the front office is perceived. So I think this shows the rest of the league that they're willing to negotiate. They're going to play hardball, and we've seen them trade away Isaiah Thomas, so they're not unwilling to do unpopular things. But they're also willing to look at a player and say, we'll give you what you're worth. And I think that has value. The other thing that you really have to consider here is that this is a tradable contract. And the Celtics did not have on their books a contract in the $11, $12 million range. And when they're moving forward, if a potential Anthony Davis or other superstar trade comes up in the next 2-3 years, they need a salary like this so they can easily match salaries going out in a trade. So I think, as much as they're playing fair with Marcus Smart, they also gave themselves a tool to make a trade down the road because otherwise they have a bunch of top-heavy contracts and a bunch of mid-level contracts. They didn't have this in-between contract. So this is as much a tool for Danny Ainge to maybe make a trade down the road as it is giving Marcus Smart fair market value.
John, I agree with that one. I'm in on that one. Like if they made this move in hopes that, you know, they have one of those $10, $11 million, $13 million deal to throw in some sort of Anthony Davis trade or some other big trade, I'm in on it. And that might be the only thing that makes sense. My other question to you is, how come no other teams went on him? Like, no, what's his value? Like, you can look at Roberson, you can look at Avery Bradley, you can't really look at Zach LaVine or Parker, but there are other players in the league that got similar money to what he got. And I don't know, why were there just no offers for Marcus Smart?
The market really wasn't favorable for Marcus Smart at all. I think if there was a different market dynamic, if every team had the requisite cap space and Marcus Smart was an unrestricted free agent, he would have gotten plenty of offers. I think the market, with very few teams having cap space, trying to figure out what's going on with LeBron, trying to figure out what's going on with Kawhi, those things all factored in. The fact that he's restricted and the Celtics kind of put out there that they would match reasonable offers, then you have to look at maybe, you know, Sacramento was supposedly getting ready to make an offer to get a restricted free agent. Because the team has an opportunity to match, you have to overpay. So Sacramento might have been willing to pay him $11 million, but they probably weren't willing to pay him 15 or 16, and that's what it would have taken to get to have pulled him away from the Celtics. So if he was unrestricted, yeah, he would have gotten these offers. He might have gotten a similar deal. He might have even gotten 55 or 60. But for him to get pulled away as a restricted free agent, I don't think teams are willing to overpay for a player like Marcus Smart. Chicago is willing to overpay for Jabari Parker because he has that theoretical star potential. I don't believe it, but they think he does. Marcus Smart is such a unique player that teams are just a little unwilling to overpay him, and that really played against them in this situation.
All right, Joe Murray hanging out with John Corrales of Red's Army. John, can you explain to the listeners how this affects the luxury tax and how they went over here, and what other moves can they make now that they've gone over the tax?
Well, yeah, so this puts them somewhere around $3 million over the tax. So the Celtics, I'm working under the assumption that they want to avoid the tax as often as they can, because if you are paying the tax 3 out of 4 years, you head into what's called the repeater tax. And that basically, I'll just say it doubles your tax bill, and you don't want to do that. So right now, they can find ways to get rid of that $3 million. The good thing is the tax isn't calculated until the end of the season. So the Celtics have time to figure things out. They can maybe move Gershon Yabusele for nothing, a protected pick or something, and they could waive Abdel Nader, and that could get them underneath the tax for a year. So they have potential moves. They could trade Marcus Morris. They could do something to get underneath the tax, but they've got a long time to figure that out. I'm sure they're going to take this probably to the trade deadline, just in case they need some of these guys. I'm going to guess that they won't bring back Abdel Nader. There's no reason to, and they can save $1 million doing that. So, but that's the tax situation. They want to avoid the tax, I think. But there's also, not to get too technical, but there are ways to avoid the tax maybe next year or the year after, because they can play a game with Al Horford where he opts out and they don't pay him $30 million. They give him a 5-year deal that starts at a much lower number to give him more long-term security. So it doesn't necessarily have to happen this year. They just have to try to avoid the tax one of the next couple of years to push it off and not get to that repeater tax 4 years from now when they're trying to pay Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Hey, John, just continuing on with the Celtics here, did they basically choose Marcus Smart over Terry Rozier? And do you think maybe he's in their plans next year?
I'm of the belief that they're not going to have one of Kyrie, Marcus Smart, and Terry Rozier. One of those guys is going to go starting next season. I'd be surprised, shocked, if all three are here. And I'm going to put my money on Terry Rozier. I personally think Kyrie's coming back. I know there's been some chatter, but I think he's coming back. I think the situation's too good. The long-term money and situation is too good. And Terry Rozier wants to be a starter. He wants to play starter minutes. So I think if it plays out the way I think it is, the Celtics may not even make Terry Rozier a restricted free agent next year. They may do him a solid and, again, signal to the rest of the league that they're They're a quality front office. If they have no intention of keeping Terry Rozier next year, they won't even offer him the qualifying offer. They won't make him a restricted free agent. They'll make him an unrestricted free agent, and they'll say, good luck to you, off you go. But they'll keep him up until the trade deadline or until they figure out what Kyrie's going to do, because right now he's insurance.
And just looking at Toronto making the deal for Kawhi Leonard, are they a threat for the Celtics?
Oh, sure, they're a threat. I think the Celtics are still above them slightly. I think Toronto closed the gap a lot. They're, I think, the clear number two now with Philly right behind them. Philly had a terrible offseason, I think. They made some decent moves. They were starting to have a nice offseason, and then it just all kind of fell apart. They kind of whiffed on a lot of things. So Toronto with Kawhi upgrades over DeMar DeRozan because the defense, because of the three-point shooting, I mean, he just gives them such a dynamic player in if he's healthy. If he comes back anywhere close to what he was, then he's either number one or number two best player in the conference. So I think that's going to be a big challenge. But I still think the Celtics from top to bottom are going to be better. I think the Celtics starting five is going to be maybe behind Golden State as the best starting five in the NBA. They're just going to be really, really great. People do not, I think, understand how good Gordon Hayward is. And if Jason Tatum takes a big step forward, and if Jaylen Brown takes a big step forward, like he did from year one to year two, then that starting five is going to be amazing. And I think that just propels them above Toronto, but Kawhi makes them really, really good, and it's not going to be easy if those two teams meet in the conference finals.
All right, John Corrales, spitting knowledge here on 98.5 The Sports. I'll follow him on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy your Friday night, and we'll be catching up when camp opens up soon.
All right.
Thanks. You got it. Thanks, John. Appreciate your time tonight.
Having Marcus Smart back at 4 years and $52 million, I think is fair. It's a fair market value. I think it's about right for him. And going back to Joe's point and the point I was trying to make in the interview, we have to be careful about totally screwing a guy over. And I think when we talk about they didn't have to pay him this much, the thought is you're screwing this guy over a little bit, and you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. I think the Celtics paying Marcus Smart his fair market value, actually probably less than what he would have gotten on the open market, at least by a little bit, I think that's good. And it shows that they are doing right by their players. And I think if they went and really, really played hardball, they could have totally screwed Marcus Smart. They could have forced him to take that qualifying offer. And they could have tried to push him into next year and try to see if they could get him at a deep discount next season. Sure, they could have. I don't think it's necessary to do that because it shows the rest of the players that you have to try to sign throughout the course of the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years that you are willing to pay them what they are worth. So I think it was a fair deal for Marcus Smart. And maybe they could have gone a little bit lower because now we're trying to get into the luxury tax and trying to figure out what the luxury tax calculations are. And are the Celtics going to be over the tax? Do they care? This is the big question. Do they care about being over the tax? We, you, me, the people who are writing everywhere around in the Celtics blogosphere, people are assuming that the Celtics care about being over the tax because we think that's important to people, to teams, to not be over the tax. But the Celtics might just say it's not that big of a deal. They might think about things as being palatable. They might think it's okay. So who knows? Maybe that's just okay with them. I'm assuming that they're trying to put off paying the repeater tax. And so that would be ideal if they could avoid the tax, and they can, I think, throughout the course of the season, if they make some moves, if they trade Marcus Morris at some point, if the team is healthy and they determine they don't need Marcus Morris, they can trade him into somebody's cap space, and then that would be enough. That would do it. It'd suck to see Mook go, but ultimately he's going to go anyway because next season, he's an unrestricted free agent, and he's probably not going to come back. So we'll see what the Celtics are going to do when it comes to the luxury tax. I think it's probably in their best interest to avoid it this year or next. If they can go into next season and start Kyrie Irving on a long-term deal that starts at about $30 million, and if they can get Al Horford to opt out of his $30 million contract and get into a five-year deal that starts at $18 million in the first year or less, then that would be great, and that would get them on a path to maybe avoid the tax next season. Maybe not. It's still not a guarantee, but they could. That all being said, we'll see. There's a lot of time. Who knows? I'm thinking of this as my normal human brain, and the Celtics with Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin have very complicated genius brains when it comes to this. They'll do something that I didn't anticipate, and I'll say, oh, okay, all right, I see it, but I don't see it now. So we'll see what happens. Also this weekend, Gordon Hayward put out a video of himself working out, which is awesome because Gordon Hayward showing the world that he can go out and play basketball again is awesome. That's something that we love to see. And I know some people have been asking about his injury and why I'm so optimistic about his return from injury. Of course, I mean, I'm an optimistic person in general, but the thing about his injury is that it was a catastrophic injury. Yeah, but that catastrophic injury is also one that can heal completely, 100%. And as bad as it looked, I think we have to get out of the habit of sitting there saying like, oh my God, his ankle looked sideways. Like, but if you don't understand why it was sideways, if you don't understand the mechanics of the ankle, then don't worry about how bad it looked. Don't look at things from your own frame of reference. Look at things from the actual medical frame of reference. No one has been saying that he might lose a step. No one. People who speculate have been saying, people have been wondering if that is a thing that would happen, but no medical people have. No one has been reporting that Gordon Hayward might lose a step. There's been nothing anywhere remotely near that. The fact is that Gordon Hayward's injury, first of all, the ankle looked like it did because it was dislocated. Just like if someone dislocates a finger, the bone pops out of the joint and it goes in a direction it shouldn't. Okay? It looks horrible. How bad is that really? It's something that is, it looks bad, but the bone broke cleanly, and the ligament damage healed. And it took a while for the bone and the ligaments and everything to get back into place, but there is no indication, nothing that would say Gordon Hayward might lose a step when he comes back. In fact, if you look at the signs, if you look at all the little ancillary things that have happened, you can find little things that tell you that it's actually going to be not bad at all. In fact, he had that setback where if you look at the setback, in that setback is actually a piece of positive news, because the setback was that he had the plate and the screws in his ankle, and they were bothering him. And if you look at the story of how they figured that out, he was having problems in that ankle performing a task where he had to bear weight on the ankle and lift, like a single leg deadlift type of thing. Well, because he was having pain, it wasn't able to really perform as well as the other ankle. But when they numbed it up, and go back to his blog and look at it, when they numbed it up, he actually says it outperformed his other ankle. When there's no pain involved, that ankle is strong. And I'm not saying it's stronger, but in his blog, he says it outperformed the other ankle. which is typical of a rehab because you've been so focusing on that one joint that you've built it up to a point where, yeah, it's probably going to get stronger than the other for a little while, but everything's going to even out. Fact is that when they numbed it up, it performed well. It performed just like the other ankle would. And that is an excellent sign that he's going to come back at 100%. And so when they did that test and they showed, okay, the ankle performs perfectly when it's numb, it's a pain thing, and they took out the things that were causing the pain, the plate and the screws. The plate and the screws are out, and now he's back. You saw the video that I'm talking about here. He's out there. He's doing step backs. He's driving. He's posting. He's doing all of that other stuff. To me, this is just my opinion of what I see and what I've experienced over the course of my time playing and things that I've seen over the course of my life. I think this is an injury that is not something that will linger. I don't think this is something that has a degenerative effect. It's something that happened. It was catastrophic. It takes a long time to come back from. It looked horrible, but it's something that can heal at 100%. And really the biggest concern is Gordon Hayward's mental state when he goes back out there. Can Gordon Hayward go out there and run that same play again and go up for an alley-oop just like he did last time? That's the biggest thing. And it's not, that is not a guarantee. That, I will absolutely admit, is not a guarantee. Can he go out there and get a back pick and go up for an alley-oop in traffic? Is he comfortable doing that? Is he capable doing that? That's the big question. If he's mentally ready, if he's mentally able to do that stuff, I am all on board with Gordon Hayward being maybe even the best player on the Celtics this coming season. I really do think that. I think Gordon Hayward is going to be a revelation for the Boston Celtics. And people are sleeping on how good he is. He can dribble. He can shoot. He can defend. He can do a lot of different things. He is very, very, very good. And he's in his prime. And yeah, he's coming off that injury. But man, I really do believe in Gordon Hayward's ability to come back strong, and be very, very good for the Boston Celtics this coming season. And I really do feel like he can be in the conversation, or maybe even the consensus, for best player on the Celtics this coming season. All right, that's the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. If you are not a subscriber, please do so by searching for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We are everywhere, even on Spotify. We are everywhere podcasts exist, so search for Locked On Celtics. If you are a subscriber, please give us that 5-star rating. Give us that good review. That really helps us rise in the rankings. Also helping us is when you share the podcast. So do that. Spread the word. Let everybody know they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.